You're either going to hear the beginning of the Elle Duncan show and think, wow, this girl's been traveling and she lost her voice. Or you're going to think, this podcast has become a bit of a sex phone operator line. Let's go. Hey, welcome to the Elle Duncan show. I am a horse, Elle Duncan. I feel like I'm doing it. I'm not going to lie, Gary. It's very difficult as a broadcaster to lose your voice, clearly. It's like
Sure. We
sort of
need
integral
that.
to the job. Yeah. But for someone that, machinates between sounding like a Chihuahua and Minnie Mouse at times, I kind of like when I lose my voice a little bit. I think it grounds me. I think it's sexy. It's a little gravelly. I'm kind of into it. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm hitting on myself.
Definitely. No, and in an unrelated note, would you mind actually just doing my voicemail greeting? No big deal, but just go ahead. Just like, hey, you reached
Yeah, I
here. You
got you.
said, what's
Hi.
up, L? You're back.
Hi.
A
Yeah.
history-making weekend in Iowa. I mean, you were there. You basically set the table for all of us. Caitlin Clark was 18 points away. She achieved the D1 scoring record in the most unlike Caitlin Clark way possible at the free
Yeah.
throw line,
Yeah.
like not a logo three, which her coach was like, I'm actually glad she didn't get the record by shooting a logo three. But you were there, you set the table. The stars were out, they were lined up outside of the arena, ready to go. What was that scene like?
So first of all, let me just say this. I went to Iowa last year for game day. It was the littest environment like that I've ever seen. And then it culminated in maybe one of Caitlin Clark's best moments when she hits that buzzer beater against Indiana to walk it off. Everybody goes crazy. She's running through the crowd. Like I was standing right there, mouth agape. So it was really cool. I wanted to go back. Like the only thing on earth that could get a black girl from the South to want to go to Iowa in the winter is Caitlin Clark, but I was into it. We were rewarded with 70-degree weather, by the way. Global warming, thank you. And it was awesome. I mean, first of all, yes, we knew going in that we were going to have this great surprise for Caitlin. She always has said that she was inspired because she was a huge Minnesota Lynx fan growing up by Maya Moore. Like that was her idol. And for those of you that are a little bit more casual listeners, here's what you need to know about Maya Moore if you don't already. She's a two-time national champion at UConn, four-time WNBA champion with the Minnesota Lynx, and in the prime of her career. It would essentially be like LeBron 10 years ago, although he's kind of always still in his prime. 10 years ago, saying, I'm done. Like I'm gonna leave the sport because she had a greater purpose and mission. She wanted to get this man out of prison who was wrongfully in prison. Come to find out they're also in love. She successfully is on the team that gets him out. They get married. They have a son. They live in Georgia. Maya, even when she was a huge mega generational star on the basketball court, has always kind of kept her circle tight and not really liked to sort of be the spectacle, be in front of the camera. It's not really her thing. She's pretty low key. Maya doesn't come out often, okay? Like almost never. In fact, there was some tweets that said maybe the greatest accomplishment Caitlin Clark has had in her career is getting Maya Moore out of the house, to which Maya laughed and totally agreed. So we knew going in we were going to be able to introduce them. They're both representatives of State Farm. They both work with them as endorsements. So State Farm makes this happen, which was so cool. State Farm is our title sponsor for game day, which is all coming together. But again, like on game days, right? Like these players have routines and superstitions and schedules that they follow and they get game ready. And so we were able to pull Caitlin out of her routine. She doesn't typically do media before the game, but we were able to pull her out and have this moment that happened. And it was so amazing. I think, we have the sound for you, but if you're only listening, I want you to imagine what you know about Caitlin Clark, right, Gare Bear? Like, cool, calm, collected, ice water in the veins. She was geeking out. So when you hear this, just imagine Caitlin with the largest smile on her face, geeking out, fangirling, screaming. Like it was everything and more when she got to meet Maya Moore. Listen, we wanted to make your dream come true. You've made so many dreams come true. State Farm knew it had been some time since you'd seen Maya, and like a good neighbor, State
Oh,
Farm is
please.
there. Maya Moore is there.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
You're my favorite player.
I feel like I'm fangirling so hard. Oh my God. Thanks for being here.
Hey, this is special.
Oh my God.
How does it feel to have?
I still feel like I was this tall and freaking out, and I ran across the court, gave you a hug. I know. Now I'm like taller than you. Oh my gosh.
Maya, how does it feel that the best player in the women's game was inspired by you?
Oh man, it's a full circle moment. I remember being 10-year-old Maya going up hugging, you know, Cynthia Cooper or one of the legends, and just to see that we're still continuing to be able to be connected, to be inspired by each other, to be, you know, family, right? I love the connection.
All I ever wanted to do was meet her. I didn't have a phone. My dad didn't have his phone, so I just ran over. It's like, can you sign my shirt? Sign my shirt. Gave her a hug, ran away. It's like the most vivid memory I have of like women's basketball growing up. And like, honestly, like I still tell everybody that story because like it meant so much to me. It's like so cool.
And I love the full circle of it all. You know, Maya talked to me afterwards and even in that clip there about how like for Caitlin was that 10-year-old girl who just wanted a hug from Maya Moore at the game and still talks about her dad, like not having the cell phone. I talked to Caitlin's dad afterwards. He was like, I really wish I could go back in time and get that cell phone. She brings it up all the time how I didn't have my cell phone. I feel like it's like the one thing I failed her at as a dad. But Maya talked about how she went to camps and it was the Cynthia Coopers of the world that she looked up to, that she idolized, that she wanted a hug from, that she wanted attention to. And I don't know, it gives me the warm and fuzzies, Gary, thinking about all of the girls that Caitlin Clark hugged or spent time with or met or signed an autograph for that are going to be inspired to be like her, that I could potentially be interviewing in 10 years from now if I'm lucky enough to still do game day. And I think that's what's so special about the sport is connecting each other, connecting these women, and Caitlin being able to have been so generational and transformational and have been able to cross over so well that she has been able to highlight some of the contributors before the sport was super popular. And we keep talking about Lynette Woodard, who was the actual highest scorer in history, but she was in the AIAW before the NCAA let women play basketball, before it was sanctioned. So her points don't count. And the Iowa head coach, Lisa Bluter, said when Caitlin passed Lynette Woodard a couple of days ago, Caitlin has finally beat the real record. No disrespect to Kelsey Plum, but it was Lynette's record. And it's unfair that just because they didn't sanction women's sports back then, we just don't worry about her contributions. And it was so cool, Gary, they brought Lynette Woodard to Iowa and she's standing on that court and she's receiving her flowers and everyone's just cheering for her and screaming for her. And it was just so awesome to see like Maya there. We pulled her out to have a chance to talk to Maya about like the evolution of the women's game and the growth and about Caitlin. I don't know. It just was like, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Meanwhile, what the hell was Travis Scott doing there? Like, we're like, I was watching the clip and I'm like, oh, look, L. Duncan is the meat between this Caitlin Clark and Maya Moore sandwich right now. Yeah. Just sort of like, you're going to be in these clips for forever going forward, which is
yeah.
And then also, because Maya Moore, about our age, I'm pretty sure, and Caitlin Clark, obviously a senior in college, and the way that the scoring happens in the women's game, it's really not outside the realm of possibility that legitimately in a decade or a dozen years, maybe sooner, I don't know, you're back in sort of that same position. Maybe Caitlin Clark is done playing basketball in two decades and she joins you on the set. You know, we're still young enough that we'll still be kicking around doing this damn thing. And then you can just relive it again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be pretty transformational to be able to, I mean, honestly, like to your point, you say like these records are made to be broken and all those things. And it seems her passing Pistol Pete, which was a record that no one thought, you know, anyone would ever pass, let alone a woman, is totally feasible. I mean, when you look at the women's game, like, here's what I want you guys to know. Don't be sad about Caitlin moving on. Obviously, you'll get to watch her in the WNBA. But Juju Watkins is nasty, y'all, in USC. And Hannah Hidalgo is nasty. They're number two and number three in the country in scoring, too. Like, they will be coming for those records. They are highlight worthy. I think that's the most important thing is that if Caitlin, and I think that there's a lot of back and forth that happens on social, Gary, about like, well, are we only paying attention to Caitlyn because, you know, she's mainstream, because she's a white girl that's doing this? And no, and I feel like however you bring people to the sport, it doesn't matter. It's the same idea as like people getting mad that Taylor Swift was permeating football. If it meant that you could connect with your daughters, if it meant that it brought them to football where maybe they'll enjoy the sport and stay, it doesn't matter why or how they came. And what I hope is that people understand that this goes beyond. Holly Rowe said it at Iowa in the middle of the court during one of the quarter breaks to the crowd. And I was so glad. She said, the real test, as this is standing room only sellout, is will you all be here next year when Caitlin's not? Because that means that she did her job and we've done our job in appropriately growing the game. It can't just be one person. She's not just the one phenom spectacle. It's really about opening up and realizing how important this sport is. And so when there was some chatter on Twitter yesterday about Travis Scott coming, it's like, oh, he's not a real women's basketball fan. He's a Caitlin Clark fan, which means by proxy, he's a women's basketball fan, right? And that's apparently what he is. Apparently, like, him and Caitlin are like cool. He loves her. He even told Holly Rowe, I like Gabby Marshall too, who is the other sharpshooter on Iowa. He stood the whole time, Gary. He stood the entire time. I was like, whoever is sitting behind Travis Scott, of course he was on the court, whoever's standing behind him is mad because he didn't sit the entire
Who's this guy
game. They're like, yeah, they're like, who is this man? Who is this one black man in all of Iowa? Sorry. There was two. Jake from State Farm was there as well.
Jake from State Farm was there. He was confirmed there.
He was like, who is this other second black man that's here in Iowa? No, but it was awesome. He was super into it. But yeah, going back to the logo three that didn't happen to break the record. I had my camera out. She's sitting at 14 points. I'm like, okay, next time it's an Iowa possession, I'm just going to get my camera out every single time. She has it. She gets ready. She pulls up. We're like, everything's going to go crazy. It's so storybook. And then what happens? It clanks. And it's funny because despite that very technical, that very questionable technical foul, it was not. I'm sorry. Cody McMahon didn't do anything, whatever. You could see her in the arena. She was mouthing to her teammate, damn, I wanted that three. I was like, yeah, I know that she did. So
did
for her to get
countdown?
It at the... They didn't have a countdown going.
They didn't have a countdown on the Jumbotron. Because LeBron at Staples Center, they had the countdown going when he was 9, when he was 7, when he was 4. Nothing.
Uh-uh.
Y'all just had to keep track in your head?
Well, they've got all the points like up on a board. Not a specific Caitlin tracker.
Oh,
so, you know, you could look up and see she's sitting at 14 points. Yeah.
Okay.
It has both teams and their numbers and how many points they've got in the game and rebounds and assists. So that was a little bit anticlimactic. But I think that, as Caitlin said, like, records aside, cool to pass it, not break it. We learned there's a distinction there. You can't break someone's record if you can't actually be in the same record books with them. And Caitlin will never be in the men's record book. So she passed Pistol Pete. She did not break his record. Yeah, that's an interesting little distinction that we have to make.
Details. I'm going to keep saying break. I'm just because I'm already programmed to say break.
Break.
Okay, so here's this thing. Last regular season home game for her, don't you think it's kind of maybe like, oh, the stars are aligning because she passes Pistol Pete, LSU legend, right? And now the tournament comes. She's obviously a top 2 seed in the Big Ten, her and, you know, Iowa State. This is sort of, we need to now exact revenge against LSU to put a bow on the season. So you pass Pistol Pete, who of course is of LSU fame, and then you get the rematch with LSU potentially for national championship, and that would be the storybook ending. Has that chatter started now?
So I think that, like, most people that are inside basketball would tell you they have not for most of the year felt like Iowa was a Final Four team.
Yeah.
But what we witness is simply because of the supporting cast. Like, it's truly, she's shooting 36%. She's like accounts for 36% of their offense. That is not typically a blueprint for success. And so it really has been about what the supporting cast can do. Ohio State is the number 2 team in the country with one of the nastiest defenses in the country. And we just saw Iowa take it to them because the supporting cast was phenomenal. You know, I just mentioned her. Gabby Marshall played lights out. Hannah Stolke played lights out. If they can play like they did on Sunday, they can be a Final Four team. The question is, they have not done that with as much consistency. So on the surface, on the peripheral fans who are like, it's Caitlin Clark and she was a Final Four team a year ago. They lost someone named Monica Zanano. They lost McKenna Warnock. Those were two really integral pieces to that run. So again, can they make a run if they played like they did yesterday? Hell yeah, they can. But they really are going to have to play like they did yesterday. Now, they're on the two line right now. They're the number six team in the country. They're a two seed as of now. As of now, if it stayed that way, they would be in the same racket as South Carolina, which would be brutal. Oof. Now, it would be South Carolina trying to exact revenge for based on what happened last year. Yeah. South Carolina has lost one game in over 720 days. One in 720 days. Like, they are so nasty. I think at this point, it's South Carolina versus the field. But it would be amazing. Either way, you're going to have some revenge element to the tournament. And I'm super pumped about that. I also have to tell you, I met Jake from State Farm. Okay.
Yeah. Is he tall in person?
No, he's not tall.
He's a little guy.
Super nice guy. He's not little. He's just normal. He's like buff though. Like, dude's got some muscles.
Well, listen, man. State Farm needs insurance on their insurance spokesman. So they're like, yo, but you got to keep it high. You got to keep it tight, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Got to keep it tight. But here's the thing. It's like, I imagine what it would be like meeting Flo from Progressive. It's like, hey, Flo, even though I know that's not your fucking name.
Correct.
So I meet him. He walks into like our area where we're all in our green room. And I'm like, oh, Jake from State Farm. And immediately I was like, dude, what's your actual name?
Yeah,
He's like, I'm Kevin. He's like, I'm Kevin. I was like, oh, what's up, Kevin? So I'm talking to Kevin. Kevin's parents are there because Kevin's parents, his dad went to Iowa. He's got his like jacket on. He's an alpha.
For real?
It's like, yeah, it was so great. Like, they were from the Iowa area. It's great. They live in Chicago. So we're talking and I'm like, you know what, Kevin? Like, we're friends now. The problem is, then I go to do the broadcast and I'm like, Maya Moore, and she's sitting with my guy, Jake from State Farm.
Damn, you were about to give out his government.
I was about to out him as a Kevin.
All of a sudden, State Farm just parachutes in. Sponsorship, done. Dude, we're gone. Hey, yo, he was rocking a Kristen Juszczyk piece, too. With the vest and whatnot. My boy was off the clock almost because he was rocking black and yellow.
Yeah, he was. He was rocking black and yellow. They tweeted that. He changed out of his formal red so that he could. I feel like maybe he has the best job in the world. Like, yes. I think, dude, he literally just, and like, people love him. They showed him on camera and the crowd went nuts. It's like, if Jake from State Farm shows up, it like legitimizes how big and important your event is. This guy just gets to go around. People love him everywhere he goes. He's like on the t-shirt cannon. He's just taking pictures. He's getting dapped up by Travis Scott. And all he has to do is literally just like go around and be himself. It is such a fire job.
I'm telling you right now, we have cool jobs, but the best gig to get point blank period is to be the spokesperson, the face of any particular franchise. You mentioned Flo from Progressive, the AT&T girl as well. Jake from State Farm, like these people who are attached and the lead spokes person for these brands. That's the gig to get. It. Couple commercial shoots with some A-listers every year. You got to pop out to some of these events and that's it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Okay, that's cool, L. So Caitlin Clark got all the records, although you sort of may mention to it, I think Juju Watkins is going to beat the women's D1 scoring record in 4 years. The way you look at it, Caitlin Clark passed Kelsey Plum, who got the record in 2017, and Kelsey Plum got it from Brittany Griner, who got it in 2013. So in the women's game, it gets passed off like every 4 or 5 years, generally speaking, recently, and Juju Watkins is on that pace. However, do you think we are ever going to see somebody get to 40,000 points in the NBA like LeBron did the other night? He says that's a record that he thinks somebody's going to get to. Not a shot.
I mean, listen, he certainly in a much more offensive heavy, I think that there's people that didn't think that anybody would ever break Kareem's record. And then we saw LeBron end up doing that, right? So I definitely don't want to say never. It just feels like nobody in history has ever been this consistently good for this long. I don't know anyone that's going to be able to tickle 40 still averaging 25 points a game. Like, he's just, that's the thing, is that like, it's, I think that like, obviously we've got volume scorers and people that can score and all that, but to be able to do it for 20 plus years at that level, I don't see how anyone's going to be able to do that. But again, my father-in-law, who's in his 70s, would tell you no one will ever break Kareem's record. So certainly who knows, but what an absolute accomplishment. I wonder though, like, do you get to a point? It's funny. I think AD kind of said what everybody was thinking that are Lakers fans, like, every time this dude breaks a record, we end up losing. I don't want him to break any more records.
He's like, let's not bring it up when he gets to 41,000. Let's not bring it up when he gets to 42,000. And anybody sitting, listening, watching at home, thinking like, yeah, people are going to get to 40,000. Just take a wild guess to those listeners, and I'll let you sit on it for a second here, who the next closest active player is to LeBron James. I'll give you a couple seconds. Okay, whoever you were thinking, you weren't thinking. Well, it is Kevin Durant, but he has not even eclipsed 29,000 career points. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, not even at 30. All right, the next closest after Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, who is 25th on the all-time scoring list. So I know we watch these guys play every night, and scoring's been at an all-time high in the NBA for the better part of the last decade. Yet still, these dudes aren't even at 30,000 points yet, and they are well on the back nine of their career. Like, could a guy like a Nikola Jokic eventually get there the way he's putting up numbers, or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just in his fifth season in the league? Yes, but nobody is going to get to 40,000 points in our lifetime. It's a bit morbid to say, and that's how I welcomed SportsCenter the other day, the morning after it happened, which was yesterday. I said, hey, this is a record that we never thought was going to happen, and it's a record that's going to outlive every single person watching this morning.
I mean, I would not disagree. I think you look at some of the numbers too, like, it took him the exact amount of games to go from 10,000 that it took for him to go from 30 to 40,000. That's what I mean. The consistency, bruh, he was a kid and it took him 368 games to get 10,000 points. And then as like an old man, it took him 10,000. It took him 368 games to hit that other 10,000. Like, it's just, I also don't think that anybody is going to be as motivated to stay in the league as LeBron is too. I mean, if you're a guy that's even tickling the things and the accomplishments and accolades that LeBron's had, for the most part, you're probably right out of the sunset at some point. Like, you're not trying to revive the Lakers anymore. You're going, I've done it all. Like, let me go. But of course, we all know that LeBron's trying to hang on for Bronny. He's trying to hang on for his son. And I do want to ask you before we get to some of these wild records, because there's lots of like really wacky unbreakable records, we assume some weird ones that I want to run through, but I do want to talk to you about this Bronny sitch. I mean, have you seen sort of the latest and what Rich Paul said about Bronny navigating the 2024 NBA draft?
Yeah, trying to get traction from teams after our initial forecast was like he's not a draftable asset this season.
You know, and listen, the kid had to miss many months after having a cardiac episode. He was cleared to play. I think he's averaging just over 5 points per game in like 20 minutes at USC. But I actually don't mind at all what Rich Paul said, which is essentially, we're not worried about how high he gets drafted. We're not worried about that, right? And like, for a lot of prospects, of course you want to be a lotto pick. The money is better. Certainly all of that. The hype is better.
Yeah, we know, but Bronny needs both of those.
Yeah, he doesn't need either one of those things. And I don't think it's wrong for Rich to say, hey, we're not worried about whether he's going to be a lotto pick. We already know that he's not. For us, it's much more about fit. He doesn't even have to be drafted. Like, what's the best team so that he can go on and he can grow? And of course, if organically it just so happens that the Lakers are that team, awesome. Wouldn't it be great? LeBron would love to play with his son, but that they're just much more concerned about him trying to have a path to a career that doesn't involve having to be a lotto pick. He doesn't need any or either of those things. I think it's a good approach, particularly because the 2025 draft class next year is supposed to be loaded. So I think it's sort of hedging your bets a little bit and going, yes, we could wait another year at USC, see if the numbers get better. Obviously, he's going to have more time on the court. He's going to have been in basketball longer. You just grow and mature the longer that you play. Do we do that, or do we just take a flyer on this year and say, maybe he won't be drafted, but he can sign with the team, he can grow? Does he go to the G League? Does he, like, what does he do to still have a path towards ultimately having a great career that doesn't involve him necessarily having to be a splashy basketball pick? And I do think that on the men's side, where it's regarded on the women's side to stay in college 3, 4, 5 years, you got that fifth year now with COVID, on the men's side, it's always an indictment on who you are if you have to last longer than 2 years, right? It's always like, ugh, this guy's like a 4-year starter. That's horrific, you know? And I don't think that approach is bad.
Well, that I think I understand how you see it that way, but the way I see it is this was a required departure. This to me is like very much dog with its tail between its legs and being like, no. We've been humbled from the start because they understand that it's not this whole like passing of the torch,
sure,
LeBron to Bronny, 1 year, one and done, all of a sudden lottery pick. Like, they understand that that's not happening. So now it's like, no. You're putting way, way too much pressure on him. He doesn't need this stuff. We're going to go to a place that feels like a better basketball fit. But we have all the receipts, L, from the entire James camp being like, this dude could play right now. He's the chosen one, all of this stuff. And then it's a little bit of backpedaling after realizing and understanding. And look, this isn't me like ripping the kid, but it's just me understanding that it's not now and it's not this year. And that's a heady agent move.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, he's being a good agent for sure. I mean, I always feel for these kids. Like, I remember when Marcus Jordan was at UCF, it was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's like, you don't have to, you know, I hope that you don't feel the pressure to do it. I mean, I do believe that Bronny actually really loves basketball a lot more than Marcus did. And I also believe Bronny has a lot more talent. It's just that exactly. It's the shadow. It's the person whose name he shares that was a big famous star from the time he was 13 and 14 years old, and not because of his dad, but because purely of his talent and him being the chosen one and all those things that we have associated with great success, or at least an indicator of great success in the league. They're a lotto pick. They're a one and done. They take the nation by storm. Like, that hasn't happened for Bronny. And again, heart condition as well, right? And like, he'll actually even have to go in front of a board because of his heart condition to prove that he's fit to play in the NBA. Obviously, insurance is a thing and all of that. But I do think that, yes, life will humble you if you don't humble yourself. And so I think them saying, like, I don't know that it's tail between the legs so much as it's a pivot. It's recognizing where you are and pivoting and saying, all right, there's a million different ways to skin a cat. I always hate that saying, even though I say it all the time, because I don't know that there's a million ways to skin a cat. And also, who skins cats, but whatever.
Well, I could tell you, but I think it's been banned. I'm pretty sure it's been banned. But anyway.
I hope.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it is. I think it's like, okay, what's our best approach, you know? And I, like, I'm not gonna lie, there's some whispers about Arch Manning, you know, as our fantastic producer drops in the chat, about sort of being this Nepo baby. And I think Arch Manning, name alone, and also talent, got all this NIL money. He's at Texas. I remember saying to someone, I won't out them, but I remember saying to someone in the college football space recently, I was like, I don't know why Quinn Ewers would come back. Like, why would Quinn Ewers come back when Quinn Ewers is like, they're going to try to push him out for Arch Manning? And the person's like, why do you think that? I'm like, it's Arch Manning, dude. Like, Arch Manning's not going to sit for 2 years. Arch Manning's going to want to, like, get in there and play. They're paying him all this money. There's all this fanfare. He always has the biggest crowds. They call for Arch's name when Quinn starts messing up. Like, they want, and someone looked at me and said, what if Arch Manning's not that good? And I was like, well, that can't be. I mean, he's an art. And they were like, no, what if Just what if he got in the building and they realized, oh, this is a project. This is not a, you're just going to do your pay your due and sit for 1 year. This is a, we need Quinn to come back because you aren't ready. And I was like, I guess I never thought of it that way. I guess I sort of associated the hype sort of like we did with Bronny with the idea that like the pedigree that like, oh, he's just going to step in and he's going to, and they really did sort of raise the level of like, it might be that he's just not ready. And it might be that despite the name and the money and the fanfare and all of that, he is a guy that's going to have to come on a little later in life. Maybe he's a Joe Burrow, right? Like maybe he's a guy that's going to have to kind of take us by storm his junior and senior years. Yeah, so we'll certainly see. I mean, speaking of Nepo babies.
That's crazy, though. So Peyton Manning said that to you, huh? Ahead of a Peyton Places taping? No, that's crazy because, like, that's his nephew. So that's, I mean, that's crazy.
Horrible. Did you get
I wasn't supposed to say his name? Oh, that's my bad. That's my bad.
Could you imagine?
He's like, nephew's not even that good, dude. Like, for sure. I'm actually kind of bummed that we shared the last name. All right, what do we got? Nepo babies?
Speaking of Nepo babies, I loved the moment at the combine with Brendan Rice, son of Jerry Rice.
Oh, gosh.
When Caleb Williams asked him, how did it feel to be Jerry Rice's son? And he immediately pivoted to, man, it feels even better to be a teammate of Caleb Williams. I think, Gary, he watched our show last week where we gave some advice on how they could handle these questions.
That's right.
And I think he nailed it.
He did, because Caleb Williams is going to hold some power with whatever franchise he goes to, all right, whether it's personnel decisions or otherwise, because it sounds like he's coming in there with a contingent, all right, of representation, whether that's welcomed or not. So he's going to be able to sort of dictate or at least have some influence on who he is throwing passes to. So Mr. Rice already saying he's open.
100%.
In other ways, man. Throw me the damn ball. Listen, receivers know how to get the rock, bro, whether 100%. It's on the field or off the field.
Ask T.O. crying, but also, that's my quarterback.
But also, we're so old. Like, we are, Jerry Rice's son is in the league. Jerry Rice was my favorite player growing up. So, yeah. Like, now to see him and, like, Joe Montana doing Skechers commercials, I'm like, damn, I'm not too far removed from that.
Wearing a Popeye's chicken helmet. Yo, I'm like, why, Jerry? No.
Crazy. Like, they're in the commercials that are making fun of, like, old washed superstars.
Yes.
Him, Dan Marino, Emmitt Smith. Gronk is in those commercials now. I'm like, No. We are moving entirely too fast.
We're moving too fast.
Yeah, hell no.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Feels like this podcast moved really fast. So before we wrap up, because it's been a podcast where we've talked so much about records, Gary, correct. I thought we could share some wild records that seem unbreakable. I want you to tell me if there's any of these that you would actually attempt. Not that you would break the record, there's zero chance, but which of these would you actually attempt? So the longest time with live ferrets in your pants is 5 hours and 30 minutes.
Well, I don't know.
Bro, have you ever seen a ferret? They stink, dude. Our family friends had ferrets.
Hold on. What a sentence. Have you ever seen a ferret? They stink.
Bro, they're so stank. We had a family friend that had ferrets, Gary.
For what?
And like that you'd walk, they had like multiple ferrets, and they're so scary too, because these people just let their ferrets go wild. So you'd just be standing there and this little like stinky rat would run across your foot. But they smell, yo. I mean, there's nothing you could, like, fresh out of the bath, they just smell like piss. They're gross.
Were they making coats? What were they doing? They were just letting them run. Well, I don't know. Maybe if you treat it a certain way, you can't really tell.
Yeah, they would just let the ferrets, like, run around. And, like, sometimes they'd be like, we haven't seen Juliet in a few days. I'm like, yeah, because you let a rat burrow into your house. Who knows where it is at this point?
Would you allow a ferret in your pantaloons?
God, no. I told you they smell.
They stink.
What about the, I feel like me and you could both attempt this because we're both athletes. The longest mobile phone throw is 362.3 feet. I could do that.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah.
Hell, that's clearing the green monster.
Yeah.
That's from home plate. You could clear the green monster.
I could.
Not a shot. I mean,
I want to try it now. Am I Uncle Ricoing this? I'm like, how much you want to bet I could throw a football over the mountains? I think I could, Gary. I got a cannon, bruh. I don't think you understand because you've never seen me on a baseball field.
No, I believe it.
Cannon, son.
I believe it. It depends. You're not doing it with an iPhone. They're too light. You need the Nokia brick. You need the 52. I think it's the 5280. Remember the one with the snake, the OG phone? That mug was heavy. You need something
like the Zach Morris phone with the antenna.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Or I'm thinking you might be able to do it kind of like skipping rocks on a lake with a Motorola Razr, because you can take it and sling it. You know what I'm saying? Sort of like, do you know how far 362 feet is? That is
clearly not
dead center home run in a major league ballpark. Like, not a shot we're doing that, but I'll try.
Right. Yeah. Most Big Macs consumed in a lifetime, 26,000.
I mean, I feel like if you're putting down Big Macs at that clip, that's a shortened lifetime. So that probably makes it even more impressive. And who's keeping count? How many Big Macs would you actually put a number on that you've downed in your lifetime?
In my whole life?
In your whole life.
I don't really eat red meat, so I could probably say 10.
Okay, and I would 10x that. I've probably had, in my whole life, 50. Okay, so that's only 5x. So to do it 26,000, nah, not a shot.
No shot.
Okay. Especially with fast food prices being the way they are these days.
Oh, yeah.
You can. I went to Wendy's the other day, got a meal, just a standard meal. I didn't upsize it or anything. It was $17.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And Wendy's is saying they're going to do flex pricing too. So like,
that's crazy.
That's
it was
insane,
Wendy's.
Bruh.
It was Wendy's. It was nuts. Nah.
All right. This would be very difficult as someone that was a swimmer. The farthest swim with handcuffs, 2.6 miles.
Well, you see, the detail that we're not including is that was actually a scheduled swim of 3 miles. But because that joker was in handcuffs, 2.6, about as far as they could get. You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, you could leave Alcatraz.
Literally about to say, Gary, like someone breaking out of Alcatraz and then getting right there.
Land is about 2.8 away. Good luck. You know what I'm saying? Not a shot. I could barely swim regular. I could barely swim unencumbered. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing that with any sort of hindrance upon me. Not a shot.
And lastly, the most beers allegedly consumed in one flight across the U.S. And of course, this belongs to allegedly Wade Boggs, 107 beers. That doesn't seem possible.
No, I could believe that. You've seen the debauchery that goes on these chartered flights. I remember we flew from, it was Boston. It was a West Coast swing. So first of all, that's like a 6-hour flight. And if you think about it, these dudes are in the back of the plane acting a fool. There are no rules. TSA can't tell me nothing. I once saw Brandon Workman put down 20 Chick-fil-A sandwiches on a dare from Boston to, I think it was Baltimore. It was a very short flight.
Shut up.
And he got dared because you know how we pull up and the catering would be on the plane.
Oh yeah.
He went and got 20 Chick-fil-A sandwiches and he was challenged to eat them before they got to Baltimore. And I think
like an hour flight.
I know. I think he put down like double digits for sure. Cause I saw him at the hotel and I was like, dude, did you really eat 20 Chick-fil-A sandwiches? He's like, I got about halfway.
Even so, that is impressive.
So yes, I could believe Wade Boggs put down 107 bears.
There's zero. Have you ever tried to attempt Power Hour with beer?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Wow. So Power Hour is, and it seems on the surface so easy. Power Hour is, you take one shot of beer, just a shot of beer, like a little shot, right?
In a
shot.
2 ounces, a little 2 ounces.
Little 2 ounces every minute for 1 hour. Okay. On the surface, you're like, that's not that hard, right? Like it's it's a shot of beer. Like it's this much. It's not a beer. It's one shot of beer, 1 minute for a whole hour. I attempted this many years ago with some friends at a house. We're like, we're just gonna like post up at this house. We're gonna try power hour because we think we can do it. And the first few minutes, you're like, this is easy. Like, it's just a shot of beer. It's like no biggie, whatevs. And then you get to like the 12th, 13th minute and you're like, I feel full. And then by the 16th
minute,
it's
too much air.
17th minute, you're like, I feel yucky. I made it 30 minutes and was on the verge of puking, hammer timed. This is like half a beer, hammer timed. Like, none of us made it past the 30 minute mark.
Really?
Like, that was, I'm telling you, Gary.
Because according to my Asian math, every 2 ounces every minute for an hour only equates to 2.5 standard beers.
That's what I'm saying. You think
what?
In your mind, we did all of this stupid drunk math ourselves ahead of time, Gary. That's why I was so confident going in. I was like, I can do this. I can do this. You would be shocked at how sick and yucky and drunk you are by 30 minutes in. Anyone listening that's ever attempted power hour, I think can attest. I don't know a single person that's made it to 60 awake.
I would know
a single one.
Will they let us do this on the show?
Absolutely not.
What if we do it remotely? So yeah, there's
if
no
we did it remotely, I think it could work because we could say we're at the comfort of our home. We're not on work property. Certainly they won't let us just bring beers and start pounding them.
I'm not a, oh, I can do that challenge, but this sounds like a challenge that I have to live through to actually.
Oh my God. I just came up with an idea. We shoot the podcast remotely.
I'm in.
Say less. We shoot the podcast remotely. You take the shot the whole time. We see if you can successfully get through the podcast as you are doing your power hour. I'm going to tell you, you're not.
No way.
Especially,
next
I know
next
you.
Next Monday,
you
let's
are
do
the
it.
Weakest drinker, Gary.
I am.
Malibu and Pineapple. I don't think you'll make it 15 minutes. I don't think you understand how hard it is to do power hour. I think you're going to be wasty. So let's pick a day when you have literally nothing else to do because you will be night-night. And let's do it.
I'm doing it.
This is a challenge we can take.
Are there any rules as it relates to every minute? So can I do like the first shot, the first second, the next minute comes and I can do the next shot at 1 minute, 59 seconds. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's like every minute on the minute. So like as soon as the minute turns.
So every 60, so every 60
every
seconds.
Every 60 seconds, you're taking a shot.
I want to try this.
Okay.
I want to try it.
I want to watch you try.
All right, I'm down.
Oh my God, yay, what a tea. So next Monday, we will watch Gary throw up live from his home.
Yes!
Tell your lovely girlfriend, Abby.
This is awesome.
She's going to have to take care of everything for the rest of the day. I'm just telling
you. Yeah,
well,
she's going
to be
at work, so this is great.
You're not going to be able to do it. Homie's not getting walks, like nothing's happening. I'm really interested to see how far you make it. I know you won't make it the hour, but I'm interested to see if you could beat my 30-minute threshold, so we'll see.
That's a tease. We'll see you Thursday.
All right, Thursday.